Well, good afternoon, everybody, here in the Eastern time zone, at any rate. This is the Hour of Truth. I have Phil Walthall next to me. I have James Usler on Skype. And I am Paul Muller. So what are we going to talk about today? How are y'all doing?
That's
too many questions.
That is a very inverted question, Paul. I mean, to really ponder on that one is... Whew.
Well, Paul, you know, you said something, I believe it was at the end of the service this morning, where if we reflect, or if we, like, looked back on the last 5 years of our life, how much have we moved forward in the Lord? Is that correct when I say that, what you said? I may not be wording
yes.
it correctly, but...
Yes.
And, you just asked the question, how are we doing? Well, if we reflect on the last 5 years, we probably aren't doing as well as we think we are.
Too deep an answer for the question posed this hour.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, yeah, we're doing fine.
Not great.
Oh man, what a buzzkill!
I tell you, what was funny is Paul was going, what are we going to do this hour? I was thinking, I said, Paul, I got an idea for Hour of Truth this hour, and we'll get Steve's recording, and just play it this hour, and we'll listen. He asked me, well, how are we going to get that if the internet's down over there? Well, that's a bummer.
You can get in your helicopter.
Yeah, really. Now we're daydreaming.
Oh, me. Well, the good news is that even if you don't have much to show for the last 5 years, at any point, you can turn around and follow the Lord.
Amen.
You can just turn around and walk away from a life that doesn't measure up, that's all about you. That's what you call repenting, isn't it?
Yeah. Amen.
But you can serve the Lord. You can choose to serve the Lord right now. Get on your knees and say, Lord, show me. And He's good and righteous and faithful. It's like the prodigal son in Luke 15. He said, Father, give me my inheritance now. And he went out and did what I love the Elizabethan King James. He wasted his substance. I don't know how better to describe. I know several people whose that would be their testimony. In fact, some of them did it more than once. Right?
Yeah. Sitting right next to you.
Wasted their substance. And one day he woke up and he said, you know what? I'm sitting here eating these corn shucks, pig food, and as a servant in my father's house, he took better care of me than this. And he goes back. And what does his father do?
Puts on a gold ring on his puts on a golden ring on him, kills a fatted calf, and
he
says, my son, it was lost, but
that's
now
right.
It's found. And that's a good point. Hey, Pilgrim wrote somewhere in there, so it's your fault. And I don't know who that was referring to, what phrase I was referring to. There was a point that I remember I was going over this morning in service about us being honest with ourselves. And one of the things that I remember telling Paul afterwards, and I don't know if I brought up or not in the midst of those things.
You're always so busy second-guessing yourself about whether you got it across or not.
Right, well...
This is a good time to hit all those things you think...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, there's things that light up. I mean, even when you go on, there's things that light up scripturally that really lights up. And one of the things is that where it's not that tribulation doesn't come. It's not that situations doesn't happen. It's not that the storm doesn't come. Okay, it's just, and we can go to Matthew, and I know Rick preached on it not too long ago, is what you built your house on. It's where do we stand when it happens? Do we stand in Christ Jesus on the rock, or do we get washed away by the storm? Do we get moved by the storm? Do we get moved by the situation? Because, you know, if we believe God's word and what it says, we won't be moved by those things. And those situations and those things that happen, that tribulation that comes, really shows us where we're at. You know, and it's a praise the Lord. It's a good thing. But at any time, that's it right there, Paul, at any time. I mean, and you know, you don't have to go dress yourself up nicely. You don't have to go any things that I remember distinctly, and I testified of this. I've been the prodigal son too many times, more times than I count, to be honest with you. And one of the things you're talking about, that prodigal son, is I'm telling you, I'm in by myself. You know, I closed up the windows because, you know, I was all geeking out on stuff, and you know, pumping junk in my arm and all these things. And you know where did I cry out to the Lord? I cried out to the Lord then, because I took a shot that was way too big for me, and I cried out to the Lord then.
Amen.
And I turned. So it does, at any time you can turn. We ought to be doing it first thing we wake up, really.
Well, you know, that's the truth of when, as we as ministers, when we deliver the word of the Lord, it's ministering back to us, and frequently we don't measure up that well. And the truth testifies against us. But, you know, it also is a demonstration of how good the Lord is.
Amen.
Because we yet have the opportunity to submit ourselves, come to light, submit ourselves to the Lord, you know, make the last half of James 4 work. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But, you know, you find the word of the Lord convicting, and you having come to light, you find yourself not measuring up, it's easy. How many times have we found ourselves the prodigal son? Lord didn't move. He's still standing there with outstretched hand, man.
Amen.
And that's really why the gospel is good news. Jesus is a lot of stuff here in the chat. Do we need to know where the seed falls, or do we trust? The answer is no. Or do we trust in Jesus? Yes. We're not ground inspectors. All we are is seed sowers. And we forget that sometimes. We want to inspect the ground to see whether we think it's going to be profitable to sow the seed there or not. Not the job. And, you know, we're sitting there as the other thing Joan puts in there about us wanting a shortcut by doing Steve. Shame on you, Philip.
Yeah, that was all me. You said us, Paul. No, I think that was me.
But woe unto us if, you know, it would just been wrong to have two shows that were internet service providers keeping off the air. Boy, I speak so fluidly, don't I? Especially when I'm talking about something I don't know anything about, especially about internet service providers. The best thing I can say is I know what an ISP is. That's all I can tell you. And Sue put in there, don't wait to repent. The first time you know that you're in error, be quick to repent. There was so much good stuff in James 1. The be slow to anger. Be other stuff. All right, if you're going to be laughing at me in the chat, that's just mean. That's just mean. It really is a repeat of when we first come to the Lord. We went over Luke 14, starting in 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Single-mindedness, single purpose. When the truth testifies against you, it's like it's starting all over again. The whole process is starting all over again. Somehow I got off track. You know, one degree off here, it doesn't look like much, but when you go out 5 years and you see what you've done and you see that you can't see the track anymore, the track's way over there. Now, you have that opportunity to refocus your relationship with the Lord. And he's still there with his hands outstretched.
Amen. And I mean, as you see in the chat, you know, Soup type, don't wait to repent. You don't know when the last breath will be, but you have time to turn now. So it is, you know, when she's saying, don't wait to repent. When you see that you're off, when you see that you've gone astray, when you see that you're not on that path, man, turn. Get on that path right away. He's there. I mean, he does tell us in James, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Looking back onto him again.
James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger's a funny thing. When you give that thing place and it becomes bitterness, then you say things to people that are so hateful, and it's like killing them or wishing they were dead. And I've heard people operate with such bitterness as that. And it's an attitude that is, it will absolutely cripple you. And you can't stand. You can't stand in the Lord, abiding in the Lord with that attitude. You know, that's why, you know, Jesus does the Beatitudes.
You know what comes to mind when you're saying that is where Jesus says it's not what goes into the man that defiles a man, but what cometh out. Because out of the mouth proceeds murders.
And it's what comes from the heart.
And that's what comes from the heart, yeah.
You know, when you say that, it reminds me of, Paul, I don't remember if it was you last week or it may have been Rick in the Texas service, where he was speaking of, you know, the first two commandments. It may have been you or Rick, I don't remember, but, you know, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we did that, and really did that all the time, there would be no contention. Because that takes all our own, what you just said, you know, if we're bitter towards somebody, there is no bitterness if we put them before us, if we love them as ourselves, if we put the Lord first. All that stuff is gone.
If we see them better than ourselves.
Absolutely. It's by preferring them over ourselves, there would be no contention.
The parallel to that, or the expanded version of that piece in James, goes back to Ephesians 4. And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you... In fact, this might have been the passage that Ricky used last Sunday in Texas. Henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, what is that saying there? You know, when Peter talks about being diligent, in 2 Peter 1, when he's talking about being diligent, this is diligently pursuing the uncleanness and lasciviousness, is what, with greediness, that's what that means. You're constantly pressing to acquire more, and whether it be stuff or power, and use it to lord it over other people. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, where does that take us? That takes us, that references back to Romans 12, too, if you need a second witness of what he's talking about here. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is who?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know that because he's created righteousness and true holiness.
Right.
That would be Jesus. Not a man. It would be Jesus. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, I'll sit here and listen to people, and you listen to them embellish their stories. It's like, oh yeah, I went fishing, I caught me a 80 pound something or other. And it's like, yeah, right. If you had been standing behind him when he put that fish on the scale, what he's describing to you was this 8-inch long spot. And we, in order to lift ourselves up, exalt ourselves, don't bat an eye at embellishing a story. In other words, it's a lie. But, embellishment sounds so much nicer. But it's lying to one another. And is that standing on the scale, Carter says, yeah, that's pretty much it. A lie to somebody is when they're in pride and presumption and arrogance to tell them they're fine. Oh, it's all right. The Lord loves you. Instead of speaking the truth to them. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. If we're members one of another, and one person is willing to lie to the other one about his condition, then it defiles the whole body.
Hey, and not only that, I mean, that's
it
not...
It makes if you're not willing to speak the truth, you're in as bad a shape as they are.
Well, yeah, I'm also looking at it. You're not loving them.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of funny. It was an interesting thing. I remember my daughter was helping me with picking up. Well, she wanted to ride in the truck. We go out in the field to go pick up, branches and stuff that came down from the ice storm, finally wrapped that up. And my daughter says, I said, Briley, why don't you come help your dad? No, I don't want to. So, okay. Well, you eat, don't you? Well, yeah. I said, well, come on out and help. I don't want to, Dad. I said, Briley, do you love me? She says, yes. I said, then do what I ask you to do. And you can see little teardrops come down her face. But, within 2 minutes, she gets out and she starts picking it up. We're picking up this stuff and putting it on the back of the trailer. I mean, we were having a good time. She was laughing and giggling after that and the whole thing. But that, I didn't really want to tell her that. I knew that hurt her feelings. But there was a joyous thing out of doing all that whole thing. And,
that wouldn't give her an opportunity to repent.
Right. And so, we have this same thing. We have the same thing with one another. Are we going to tell each other the truth that we may go forward in the truth? Or are we going to sit back and just lie to each other and say, God loves you, you're okay, you're good, all these things? That's just going to send you to hell. That's hating them. That's not the voice you snug up to, The voice you snug up to is the truth.
That means Jesus says you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, if you're not willing to love them, then you're not salty.
Phil, you say that. It reminds me of, I was talking with Davey a couple months ago about a situation and speaking that same type of thing to somebody that needed to hear something that wasn't comfortable, say, to speak to them. And,
I'm sure it wasn't comfortable for him to hear it either. You know, I don't know, but.
And Davey said, do you know why you didn't say that? Or why you haven't said that? Because you love yourself more than them.
And you don't want to be the bad guy. And you don't want to deal with the consequence of standing in the truth. But you know, if Jesus didn't deal with the consequence of standing in the truth, none of us would have a hope.
But you know, and if
go ahead.
We prefer ourselves, we're sending them to hell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what it says, you know, when Jesus talks about resist not evil, because somebody pull that up in Matthew. He talks about resist not evil. I mean, you look at what Jesus did. He stood on the truth, and it costed him his life. You know, we're sometimes scared to tell somebody the truth because the repercussion of that truth and their reaction towards us and hostility over or whatever it may be a lot of times, or they just might not like us or whatever it is. We're not... Do you know what I mean? Has anybody come across that, or is that just me? I mean, am I the only one at fault in that thing? I mean, I know I am. But telling somebody the truth and standing that and willing to take the repercussions of it. You know what? That's what Jesus did. He stood in the truth to the point they went out to kill him for it. And he still didn't veer off the truth. And he says, what did he say? Resist not, to, you know, if one smite thee on the one cheek, turn the other also. Resist not evil, and that case, and I want to really read it. But
I got it here.
You know, that's where the place we need to stand in. That's the place when you stand there, and for one another. And it's not a hateful thing. It the flesh doesn't like it. People's pride don't like it. But that is the loving thing to do. That is the loving thing to do. And when that repentance comes and when they recognize that and they get in that place of, you know, and we all get in that place of, man, there's no hope for me. Then you point to the cross and say, yes, there is. That's your hope. That's your only hope. There it goes, pilgrim put it in. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. That is standing in the truth and willing to take the hit for it.
That's right.
That's not bowing your knee to the hit. That's standing in the truth of it. And willing to take the repercussion of it.
Absolutely.
I mean, because I tell you, there's been many times at work where I know I needed to call somebody to count, and I didn't. And it's been more ugly for me, but until I got to that place where I had to just call people to account and willing for them to hate me because of it, things weren't going to get any better. But they would get worse and would not run like it was supposed to. Do I still got work in that area? Abso-freaking-lutely.
But that advice from James, not really advice, it just carries the weight of commandment.
Yes.
Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The Ephesians piece that I was just reading goes from the putting away lying, speak the truth with his neighbor, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. If you don't work, then you're consuming, but you're not putting yourself in a place where you can bless others. And usually you're taking something that somebody else had for others yourself. So, but that be angry and sin not. Why is that important? it's important because you become bitter. And bitterness is a spirit that ends up killing you.
Yeah, I was about to say. You know, it's kind of interesting that it does say, you know, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye, and it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down
that's
upon your wrath.
That's treatment with the result of somebody bringing the truth to you.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and that on the other end, you bringing the truth and they hating you for it. You can't get angry because of that.
No, you can't. Who are you going to get angry at?
Yeah, exactly.
Them or God?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to be willing. I mean, what is the Romans talk about? Becoming a living sacrifice. That's part of being a living sacrifice, folks. You know, count the cost of being that soldier. What does Timothy say? Endure hardness as a good soldier.
Back in Matthew 5.
Stephen did, you know. Jesus did.
Yeah. But I say unto you, 22, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. What is a cause to be angry? The only thing you can be angry at, really, is your sin. You know, if somebody's exposing the truth to me that testifies against me, then that's going to get me angry enough to go do something about it. It's not the kind of anger that sits and becomes bitterness. It's a motivational thing to get right with the Lord. But anger against somebody without cause would be something that is provoked by that is something that provokes a prideful reaction. There's anger at justifiable anger, the part of God's character that he does perfectly. We don't, but he got angry with Israel in the desert. And he brought down judgment. Right?
I mean, I was just thinking, what did he do in the temple?
Yeah, same thing. You know, his anger's... There's anger that's provoked by drive to be righteous, to be performing the works of the Lord. There's, you know, when you see people that you've been leading and they're not getting it, you know, your first reaction may be anger, but you know, as you can't stay there long because you've done the same thing.
No, absolutely.
I think Steve had said, you know what I mean, you love the person, you hate the sin.
The sin.
Right.
And that's just it. You hate the old man.
Right.
I mean, you come in at that, and that's love is what that is. I mean, you hate the enemy. You hate the one that was coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And you go against that. I mean, and you put your foot on that old man.
But you hit something that's really an absolute truth, and that is be willing to have people get angry with you. Because that's not a comfortable place. It's unnatural. That our tendency is to immediately, when you see that's happened, start justifying ourselves.
Yeah.
That's not profitable for them, and it's not profitable for you either.
That goes back to, you know, your yays, yays, and your nays, nays. And anything more than that is unfruitful, and, you know what I mean, you start to justify yourself.
The only way you can even start coming close to matching up with the character that God represents and that which Jesus stood in perfectly in these Beatitudes. You know, you've heard it said, but I say that is when you're abiding in Christ. If you're not abiding in the vine that is Christ, Jesus, then if you're doing that, then you take on His perfection in standing this way. If you're not, if you're outside of that, it doesn't matter what you think of yourself. It doesn't matter what other people think of yourself. You can't stand in this at all. And you're just, you're going to be exiting out large portions of Scripture here with, if you're not abiding in Christ.
Well, and that's just it. And there's a couple points I want to bring up, because there's one, you know, that's highlighted. I mean, one you brought up in Luke. You brought up, and that was, what was that, 14. Paul? Luke 14. And this was, and I'm glad, and this is where the place we really need to choose to be in, is in Luke 14. And I'm going to bring up this point. And, you know, and says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be his disciples. I mean, you are just willing to lay down your life for the Lord. Your own life. And that's part of being that living sacrifice. The other point, and that's what you start off with. That's what you're talking about here. The other part is, I remember I was talking a little bit about being that we were talking about the prodigal son. You know what? When I repented in that room, filling my arms up with dope, and I almost killed myself doing that, and I repented in that room, you know where I went? You talk about abiding in the vine. You know where I went? I went directly to where I knew the Lord was at, where His body was. And I called the fellowship here. I knew the Lord had called me here.
Amen.
You know, that was the repentance on my side. I changed my mind about what I was doing, and I went to go fellowship in the body. Because, you see, there's no fellowship outside the body. And people, we want to deceive ourselves. I mean, how much do we deceive ourselves? And consistently, I mean, I don't go to church. I don't need fellowship, all of these things. But I believe in God, and I'm going to heaven. I'm okay. You know, I mean, how many times do you hear that? Yet you don't fellowship within the body, you're outside of the body. I mean, if you don't fall underneath that line of authority that the Lord has set up and the Lord has established, what makes you think that you are abiding in the vine?
Right.
I mean, I don't know about you, Paul, but I haven't had Jesus Christ come to me right before my face where I see Him evidently before me. You know, I mean, that happened with Paul. You know, that happened with the other apostles on down the line to this age. But that happened with me. And so I know. And then the people that it has happened to, and the people that it has happened to is sometimes it's been scary. It wasn't good. It was kind of like, you better turn. It wasn't a good thing. Not like, you're my friend now. It was more like, here's a warning, Bubba, you're going down the wrong path. You're going down to destruction. Yeah. That, you know, it says you humbled yourself is what Sue said right here. And what that is humbling self. And, I mean, it's one thing where it's like, oh yeah, God is the man, God is powerful. I mean, we have rappers say all about that, but as soon as you go and tell them about, well, you know, this is who God has set over you. Oh heck no, I ain't no man like that. I ain't humble. Doing no man tells me to do. How many times you hear that? Well, then you're lying to yourself, Bubba.
Yeah.
You're lying to yourself.
like, you know, the Pharisees telling Jesus, what do you mean?
Oh, we have Abraham as our father.
We are slaves to no one. We're in bondage to no man, is what they said.
Yeah, but you sit there in bondage into the Roman thing, and you sit there and you're in bondage unto your law and your precepts. And man's tradition. You're in so much bondage, it's not funny.
You're in so much bondage, it's just...
And here's the Lord right evidently before their face saying, I'm here to set you free if you'll receive it. Mm-hmm. If you'll receive it. I mean, you talk about love. I mean, here they are. Here's the Pharisees coming against Jesus for telling the truth that they plot out to kill him, but yet Jesus still tells them the truth and still is giving them opportunity to get on board.
Right.
But see, they messed up. They pulled their last straw. You see Nicodemus turn, but see, they messed up. They pulled their last straw. What they did was they turned around. They messed up. They turned around and knowing who he was and knowing who he was, turned around and said he did those works by the devil.
Yeah.
And they blasphemed the Holy Ghost in them, which the Lord says there's no repentance for that.
That's right.
So, but yet there it was. Here's the liberator, Jesus Christ, to come in. And here's the captives thinking what they have. They turn around and want to kill the one that's trying to liberate them.
The offensive remark was, whom the sun sets free is free indeed.
Yeah, but you know what? How many times do we do that? I tell you, I've done it times past where I've gotten offended. I've been prideful and I walked away. And here is a liberator, somebody the Lord has sent to liberate me from the bondage of that thing which is killing me. And I chose the bondage instead. Not very smart on my part, but praise God, he still had mercy upon me. And if he had mercy on my sorry butt, let me tell you, I'm not special. He can have mercy on any's butt, sorry butt out there. That's the beautiful thing of the gospel.
The sad thing is, it's our nature to choose the familiarity of the bondage over the fearfulness of going on with the Lord.
Amen. Because in our flesh, going on in the Lord is not comfortable for in our flesh.
No.
That's why.
Absolutely. We're not familiar with the attitude. I admit to it in a minute. Skinny
me too.
They would glory in tribulation. Say what? That must have been some strong Kool-Aid. That's all I'm saying. I'm not there. And that makes me wrong.
Makes me wrong too, because I'm not there either.
I have to command myself to glory. I mean, this stuff, the Lord loved me enough to put me through all that stuff. So that he could use me. So he could use me. And, we are so prone to taking the easy road. What does he say? Wide is the path,
and narrow is the way.
And narrow is the way
that leadeth to destruction.
Yeah.
You know, it says, you know, Sewell says, we are not good soldiers. We value our lives as compared with reverence, loving not their lives unto the death. Or revelations, loving not their lives unto the death. You know, and that's the point. It says, but see, we go back once again, we'll go back right back to Luke 14. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, that's a good point to start. I mean, we need to really come honest with ourselves. And that's not been the message all morning. As getting honest with ourselves. Because when we can get honest with ourselves and we can actually look at it, then we can look at the Lord and what He's able to do. Not what we're able to do. We can actually take the seriousness of the Lord and look at what He's able to do. And the seriousness of the gospel. I mean, because that's where we need to be at already. If we're going to be any effect at all to our brothers and sisters, Lord, anybody out there, I mean, first, man, it starts with our own heart. It starts in our own homes. It starts in our own ministry. I mean, we're fooling ourselves if we think we're going to carry anything out there, and yet we are not choosing the Lord right here in our own heart.
Well, you know, what's important about picking up the cross?
Laying everything down.
Well, picking up the cross is an instrument of death.
Oh, yeah. You die to yourself.
This flesh here's got this old man's got to die. Or you're not going to be successful at coming after it.
Yeah. I mean, remember we had the corn. I mean, that reminds me of the corn. I'm glad you brought that up.
Right.
What is it? And I want to know the scripture where that is. Unless the corn fall in the ground and die first, then it brings much fruit. It has to die first. We first have to die to ourselves. But the problem is, you know, it says we're not good soldiers, and, you know, we lived our lives compared with our ladies and loving not their lives unto the death. I mean, the thing is we're not dying to ourselves. That's the issue at hand here. And we need to become honest with ourselves to really truly die to ourselves, you know?
Entangle ourselves with affairs of this world. And yep. This life, and we entangle ourselves with other people's business, and, you know, because we're busybodies and all this other kind of stuff. We do, our nature is absolutely wrong.
Absolutely. And that's where it says it's enmity. Your carnal mind is enmity. It means 180 degrees opposite of God.
Absolutely. It's as far as you can get away from God.
Yep.
And how He would have you be. You can't be both. You can't be double-minded.
That's right. It reminds me of the scripture, and it's Matthew 9, 16 and 17. No man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. We
have
God or Jesus in our life. It's either our life or His.
Amen.
That, you know, it's not going to work trying to mix them. We either prefer Him in all things, or we prefer ourselves. And if we think we prefer Him, but prefer ourselves, rely on ourselves.
Yeah.
But we're definitely lying with what we do. What we're seen doing is not being doers of the word.
Yeah, we're the hearers that you were talking about.
Yeah.
So the admonition here is I've looked in the enemy's face. It's in the mirror. It's
Amen.
Ugly.
Amen. You know, and the other point it kind of clicks back to me. I was telling you a story about Bradley. You love me. You do as I what I tell you to do. And all, you know what clicks back with me on this whole front is, I mean, it's the same thing when Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And, you know, it goes back to, well, how many of us want to be Jesus' friends? And I'm sure we're raising up our hands, it's like, well, really? Then if that's the case, then we'd be doing whatsoever He commands us. I mean, the only reason why I'm not His friend is because of me.
I'm surprised you're anybody's.
Me? Well, you know, it's easy to do, Paul. I mean, a lot easier than how you think. My fault.
Yeah. That's right, Linda. We found the enemy, and he is us.
Amen. And at the same time, the same time, the liberty that Jesus has given us is that, you know, I wake up every day with this old, nasty, carnal man next to me that wants nothing to do with God, nothing to do with God. But the liberty that Jesus gave me is that I can put that sucker down and live in Him. That's the only liberating thing.
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ. That's the only liberating thing. You can go to the counseling, you can go, you know, take this medicine, you can go through years of schooling, but it's Jesus Christ is the only one that will, can, and set you free.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm laughing when you're speaking the truth.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
Yeah. That's mean, Paul. It's so mean.
It's all right. I still love you very much.
This is just obviously going to be another edited session.
Well, praise the Lord. I like having some fun.
I don't know, man. I think we're done. Are we done?
I suppose so. James, you got something, brother man?
I don't think so, Philip.
That shiny thing just took all the air out.
It did, but I'm like...
I don't know, man.
Well, praise the Lord. I was glad for people to listen in.
For the...
And the inputs as well.
It's been hard to hang in there for, you know, all this time, but...
You know, I always notice it takes about 20 minutes for me to even get in the start, but it's like, first 20 minutes, and it's like, okay, all right. There's some things clicking off. You know that thing with the short school bus special? That's me, Bubba.
Alrighty then, we'll pick this track up again next week. Thank you for joining me, James and Phil.
Thanks for having me.
And
amen, me too, thank you.
You know, praise the Lord that some people actually got to listen to us. I don't know why that sounds really self-righteous and prideful. But I'm just glad. I'm just glad we got to share some about how good the Lord is. I hope it's helpful and profitable. And we'll see you next time, Lord willing. Until then, may God bless. Texas service comes up at the top of the hour.
May God bless you guys.
May the Lord bless y'all.